Pray before we get into word. Father, I thank you and praise you for this day. And I ask now, Lord God, that you open our hearts to receive the truth of what is in your word. Lord, I pray that you help us to apply these things that we need to apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now we're going to pick up in Exodus, as you were. Exodus chapter 22, and we're going to go to verse 18. We started going down. This is the first, pretty much the first set of rules and law that God has given Moses to give to the people. Okay? Now, there's reasons why I think we're going to continue on for a little bit here in the law. Later on, when we get to certain laws, I will categorize them and just briefly explain what it contained. Starting in 18, you shall not permit a sorceress to live, a witch. God did not want his people seeking mediums. He did not want his people seeking spiritualists to find out about their future. Okay, this is one reason I have a problem with people chasing prophets. You are no different than the people calling in to Madam Zonda on BET or whatever cable network for $9.99 a minute, trying to find out what your future is going to hold or if you're going to win the lottery. I can tell you right now, the odds of you winning the lottery, no, you aren't. So just give me that money that you want to spend on that, and I will tell you whether you're a winner or a loser. It's that simple. So for the next 20 years, you just give me that dollar, and thank you, Phil. I will do this. No scratching, you know. So you shall not permit a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. Do I need to explain that one? Bestiality. He who sacrifices to any god except to the Lord only shall be utterly destroyed. Now, utterly destroyed carries with it more than just being killed, okay? It means blotted out, white. You are now a grease spot, okay? Your name, there will be no record of your existence on this earth, is what God is saying. And that was one of the reasons why God wanted the children of Israel, when they went into Canaan to destroy those people, was because of how evil that they really were. Verse 21, you shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now we're going to look at this one again here in a little bit, in another, just a few verses down. But God was wanting that, and this is what I think God wants us to remember everything. The first thing he says, do not oppress a stranger in your land, because you know how it was like, what it was like. He's trying to tell us, treat other people the way you want to be treated. Everybody comes out, well, you dissed me, which means disrespected me. You ain't giving me no respect. You've got to give respect to get it. Okay? That's what's not being taught today. You've got to give the respect in order to receive it. That's the word of God. That holds truth. That holds water, and it's what will keep us afloat. But you're not going to receive the blessing of God in your life if you're mistreating somebody who was bound just like you were. If you had an addiction to cocaine, and instead of going out and helping those people and showing people mercy, and you come out and you judge them, you will not have the blessing of God. Because God wants you to remember what you felt like. See, I personally know why God allowed me to do some of the things I did. I did them, okay? People need to understand it. I made the decisions to do what I did. But I know why God allowed me to make those decisions. He stopped me from others. He wouldn't let me go to the golf. I couldn't go fight. He put me someplace where I was going to spiral down out of control and hit the bottom so that I could see what it was like, so that I would remember what it was like, because I had grown up in a Christian home. even though my parents weren't saved my entire childhood, and there was a lot of it, there was the first 8 years of my life, they were pretty vile people. Of course, most sinners are. But God changed them. And God was wanting us to remember what it was like. I personally had never been there. So it was going to be hard for me to minister and help people and talk to people who had been addicted to alcohol. It was going to be hard for me to work with anybody because I'm going to be standing up here looking down my pious nose. Thank you. That's exactly what I'd be. I'd be a Pharisee. And that's not what the church is supposed to be. Again, we are expected to change when we come into the body of Christ. But why is it we seem to think everybody's got to change overnight? Because I don't know about you, but I'm still morphing. I'm not the same person I was a year ago. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. And I'm not the same person that I'll be tomorrow. You shall not afflict any widow, verse 22. Any widow or fatherless child, widows and orphans. If you afflict them in any way and they cry out at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath will become hot and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless. Do you think God wants us to take care of the widows and the orphans? Yeah. It's a good thing to go do that. You know, I was so thrilled that we were able to, so far the missions trips that we've been able to help people go on have been to orphanages. To go help those people. Pull them out of the sex trade or go and help the orphanage itself. We've sown money into an orphanage in Haiti to rebuild it after the earthquake. So, what do you think God thinks about that? But you know what? A lot of the body of Christ has gotten away from what's important. Now, I believe in God's prosperity. I want to tell you that right now. I fully do. But I do not believe prosperity should be our main message. Never. It should never be why we preach. I've been in services where the whole service was about taking up an offering. And I apologize to you now if anybody we've ever had makes you feel that way. But that's never been the intent. And I personally try to make sure that people come here. They aren't going to be standing there teaching for the whole half hour or whatever they're going to be here, 45 minutes, an hour, on receiving an offering. They can teach on faith. That's great. That's faith you've got to have. Jesus is coming back looking for faith. But he don't care if you're up here preaching a prosperity message. So if you get away from what's right and what's important in life, prosperity don't mean a hill of beans, Bubba. If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not like a money lender to him. You shall not charge him interest. Oh. We don't like that one. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. In other words, he borrows something or some money from you, and you take his clothes as pledge, that he's as collateral. Thank you. God said, you take it back before dawn or before evening. For this is his only covering, it is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. How's he going to cry? Oh, man, I'm cold. He's not necessarily crying out to God, but he's crying out, complaining of the cold. And God's going to say, I'm going to hear that. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to take care of him, but I'm going to bring retribution to you. You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people. Okay, here's one that's, we got to kind of throw this thing down in first gear and just stop for a second. So many people are still trying, I do not agree with the man, but he's still our leader. We have to pray for our president. That's what your Bible tells you to do, is pray for your president. You may not like me, but God says pray for me. He can change me. Trust me, she's been trying for 22 plus years now and gotten very little change out of me. But when she starts praying for me, God starts working on me. But women, you already know this. We don't have to talk about it. Guys tune you out. I'm just being honest here. Rob, you, just because you're sitting next to me. We let it go in one ear and out the other because we're tired of hearing the nagging. Maybe we've heard nagging all day and we don't need to hear that. But if you start praying for us, and guys, it goes the other way. If we start praying for our spouses, God will change them. All right? God can work with this government. But posting everything that comes across on Facebook just isn't cool. And just spreading a bunch of emails because, oh, this must be the truth. It's on the internet. But here's the one thing I wanted to look at that I told you, alluded to earlier. You shall not revile God. That word revile, actually, it doesn't mean to be revelous, rebellious, and, you know, party attitude. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about treating God as something trivial. You shall not ever think of God as being something trivial in your life. That's what he's saying. Why do you think he came tonight? He knew we were going to hit this verse. I felt his presence back there. I knew God's presence was in this building tonight. Of course, it is anyhow, but there's just times it's a little thicker. And I knew God was going to do something. And then when those words started coming forth, I knew why. Right there, those want you shall not think little of God. What need do you have? Put it before God and stand on it. Oh, but Pastor, what I'm believing for really isn't necessarily a need. Did we not talk about this Sunday? He knows the things that you want. That's why Psalm 37:4 tells us he will give us the desires of our heart. Our desires and our needs are two different things if you ain't figured that out. I desire something. Anybody on Facebook knows what I'm talking about. I got my glands, my saliva glands juiced up on Monday. I went to the Harley dealer. And for the first time ever, they let me take one out and ride it. Twice. Because the first time, video didn't work. It was fun. But that is a desire of my heart. Okay, why? Because art's changed a few things. God's allowing that desire to come back. There's a desire. Here's my needs. God, I need money for this, this, and this. And this is a desire, and the money for this isn't going to go over here for this. Jason and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. This is a toy. I'm not financing a toy. I financed my vehicle for my family because I had to get them around. But this is a toy, and I'm not paying anybody interest. I'm calling one forth. Why? Because I can do that. That's what faith does. Just like we've called forth money to do things here in this building. Okay? We serve a great God. He is our provider. He will provide the things we need and the things we desire. We have to be doing his will. Okay? God will move on you what to do. You just have to do it. All right. Now where are we at? 29, you shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Anybody else? Who all in here is a firstborn? Okay. Women, you were redeemed automatically. Men, you, by this, had to go to work for the church. Unless you were redeemed. That's what God was saying. That's why Samuel was dropped off when Hannah had was done nursing him. She dropped him off to Eli. Not only had she made a promise, but he was also her firstborn. And she would not redeem him because she promised God she wouldn't. That's what she meant when she said, and he will be yours. I won't redeem him. But he will still be my son. He'll just be in your service. Okay? Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day, you shall give it to me. And you shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. 23, chapter 23. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to do, be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. A lot of people want to try to do that. No, no, no. Just because they're poor does not mean that you take justice and pervert it. Justice takes the facts and that's that. And weighs them out. It doesn't say, oh, well, you're poor and you got lots of money. We're going to side over here so that you give some. That's called what we got now. That's corruption. That's what we're dealing with in our government. Well, you got too much money, so we're going to take some of your money. We're going to give it to them who don't want to work. How about you let them create jobs and watch these people go to work? Anyhow. If you meet your enemy's ox, now remember, this is your enemy. This isn't your friend, your buddy, your family. This is somebody who hates your guts. If you see your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. Oh, but God, do you know what he did to me last week? God says, I don't care. You will do what is right because it's right. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. Donkeys have a tendency when they think they're overburdened, they lay down. And they don't want to get up. So you were supposed to go over and help him, regardless. You shall not pervert the judgment of the poor in his dispute. Again, second time, real close. You do not pervert justice just for the poor. Just because he is poor. Let's rephrase that. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. Okay, the second time within two chapters here that we have said something. He's talking about the innocent now. A couple chapters ago, he was talking about that if you cause a woman who's pregnant to go into birth and that baby dies, you're a murderer. Now, he says, you shall not, let me back up, you shall do not kill the innocent and the righteous. Anybody got any questions about abortion? Right there, two times, just solidified it. Oh, but Pastor, this is the law. As I've stated before, there are laws that are standard. They stand the test of time. Some of these other ceremonial laws and things of that nature are the ones that we were actually redeemed from. And by the way, we were really redeemed from the law of sin and death. These are outstanding to live by. Okay? Because they talk about how we treat each other. Everybody wants, well, I want to make sure that, you know, well, the law says that you can't have a rip in your pants or whatever, and you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, you know what? That concerns me. It doesn't affect how I treat other people, how I treat God. If I got a hole in my pants, do you think God really cares that my knees are ripped out of my jeans? I don't. I don't think God cares if I've got a mohawk. I don't think God cares if my hair's purple and blue. I don't think He cares. Those are things that only affect us. How I look actually ultimately starts affecting how I treat each other people. Oh, who do you think you are? You're wearing purple flip-flops. You're not even worthy. See what I'm saying? I've been around people that are like that. And it just, it makes you sick. Because that's not the word. The word came for us treating each other, treating other people. All right. Verse 8. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Again, going back into making decisions. You know, Rob's the man that's got to make the decision on whether we get this job or not. Hey, Rob, you know, I know a guy who can put on body kits and wings real cheap, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, really? Yeah. By the way, do you know my nephew's applied for that position that you make the decision on? Keep that in mind. That's what a bribe is. I know there's no women in here who do it, but just so you know, if you get pulled over and you start undoing the top button on your blouse, that's a bribe. Monica's sister is a state patrolman, and she told us, it was at Joyce Meyer, I think is where we were at, and we were standing out there talking to her, and she said, I pulled this girl over one day, and she said, I got out of my car, and I could see what she was doing, man. She had her skirt hiked up, and she had her top. She's about totally exposed. She walked up, looked in the car window, and the woman looked up. And said, oh, crap. She's like, yep, that's right. It ain't going to work on me. Trying to sway things in your favor for something that you can offer. Okay? A lot of people do that. We watch movies and say, well, that doesn't happen in real life. Really? You know, I just watch, I actually like watching police shows and detective shows and things, and I watched one today in which this guy had three women in three different houses locked up in a basement. That stuff doesn't happen, does it? Unless you live in Cleveland. Stuff like this does happen. So yes, the things you... People take bribes. All this stuff is real. Hoffa probably is buried in the bottom of a building. This stuff is real. They didn't just come up with it. By the way, the same demons that influenced the murders of that also influenced the people who write this stuff. It's all spiritually based, just so you know where it comes from. That's why you can have an idea for something one day. That is a great idea. I've never thought of that. If you hold on to it, 6 months to a year later, I promise you somebody else has got it patented because somebody else had that same idea. All this stuff is floating around in the spiritual realm, just waiting. I know people don't understand that sometimes, but sometimes you just got to take things with a little bit of faith and watch. Verse 9, also you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Seriously, do you think God's trying to get something through to us? There's a message He's trying to send us. Can anybody guess what it might be? Treat each other the way you want to be treated. The law of Sabbaths is what we're going to go to next section. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat. You know what this is? God's welfare program. This is food stamps from God. And in the years that they did harvest, God told them to round off the corners of their fields. They weren't to pick the grapevines clean. They weren't to pick all the olives and the figs. They were to leave some on the trees. See, God had no problem with people working for their food. Why do we? I have no problem. If I needed assistance in that area, I would gladly work because nobody owes me anything. And I know. Well, Pastor, you're not inner city. No, I'm hillbilly. It's the same thing. Go to the hills. I got family members who think they're entitled to things just because they're Appalachian American. Go back down to the Appalachians. But on the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow that the poor of your people may eat. And what they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you shall do your work. And on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and a stranger may be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. Okay. That one, you're not even to mention the name of another god. Now, do you want to know why I know that this has been... This is one of those that God is not going to send you to hell for? Because the Apostle Paul, when he was conversing with these intelligent men and women, he said, you know, you've got this God, this God, this God, and this God, but you've got one down here to the unknown God. I want to talk to you about that one. He mentioned these other gods. He's talking about them. Our Bible even talks about Baal. He was another god, Dagon. Okay? I don't necessarily think it was just saying the flat-out mention of that name. It was the confession. It was the focusing on those gods. There are some people, they get so caught up into a study of something that they totally flip. They go wacko. Because it's this. Well, what the problem is, you're so focused on this other god that the demonic influences around that thing have now totally perverted what you know. So if you're studying something, especially dealing with the occult, be very, very, very careful. And if you are at all, don't even go down that road. I've studied some of that stuff out, and I'm going to tell you right now, I've sat there, well, I kind of agree with, put the brakes on. There's always a little truth in every false religion. A little bit of truth. That's all it takes to get you hooked. This whole universalism. That there is no hell. That everybody's going to heaven. Which, by the way, is what we were all taught on the Lost series. Okay? I personally know of men of God, some of them musicians, some of them actual preachers, who have fallen for this. This is what they now believe, and this is now what they teach. Why? Because there was just a little bit of truth in that. Of course there was a little bit of truth. That's how you get hooked. Because truth is rock solid. So you've got a little rock, but you've got all this fluff. And you get stuck in that thing. But see, God is not the little bit of rock. He's the big rock that you build on. Okay? He's the truth that does not move. Okay. So we are going to stop there for this evening. But in all of this, I don't care how you think. One, how you treat each other is vitally important to God. If you think you're better than somebody else, I beg of you, go look in the mirror again. Tell me if there's a wrinkle. Tell me if there's a gray hair. Tell me if maybe you don't have the tire disease. You know, your belly doesn't lop over your belt. Or the furniture disease. Your chest fell in your drawers. My boys keep teasing me anymore. I'm like, what are you talking about? Dad, you need a bra. I'm like, you're going to need a nose job in a minute. But God wants us to treat each other proper and right. Now, not everybody, you can't talk to everybody the same either. I can talk to Phil one way that I might not be able to talk to Rob or my brother-in-law, Bob. I guess he could go by Rob, Robert, okay? Or even Rob. But I have to treat them the same. I have to love them the same. I may not be able to talk the same to them. Like, Phil, I mean, I can tease him about missing a toe. Actually, I think these other guys I would too, but... Especially if it was their anniversary and they were mowing the grass. I'm just saying, man. Yard work is never a priority. I'm going to just keep busting your chops. All right. So God wants us to, one, treat each other the way we want to be treated. If you know somebody who's dealing with something you were struggling with, remember what it was like. I think that's a problem that most of the church is in now. They forgot what it was like. And in the other part that was raised up in the church, they don't know what it was like. Some people ask, what was boot camp like? I can't explain what Marine boot camp was like to you. You have to go and experience it. There's certain things you just got to experience in order to be able to relate to. I do my best to try to help you relate. But there's other things that you can't remember. And God wants us to know He's not trivial. He's not just this little thing that should just blip on our radar once a year, once a month, once a week. He's not trivial. He's that big blip on your radar. He should have priority in your life. Because if He's got priority in your life comes in alignment with His will. And no matter what comes your way, the Bible says that He causes all things to work together to the good of those who make Him a big deal. That's paraphrased. Okay? He brings that stuff into alignment. God didn't cause somebody to rear-end your car. But what God may have done was revealed to the fact that your frame was cracked or bad. And now your car's totaled. And you got a new car. Okay? I know years back my sister was driving my brother's RX-7 here in town. And she rear-ended. So she just reached down to change the radio. And she rear-ended a car in front of her. Did a little bit of damage to the car. But what it did was revealed the fact that the subframe was rusted out. The car was unsafe. But you would have never known that because it was rotting from the inside out. It wasn't going the other way. And if she had not bumped into that car here in town, somebody could have been going down the road at 70 miles an hour, hit a bump, and that frame would have let go, and then end over end that car would have went. And I would be short one family member, I'm sure, at least. What the devil meant for bad, God meant it for good. Because it also, in my opinion, probably saved the life of my brother who owned the car, whose car it was going to be. Because he admitted later he was not in the right frame of mind. Drugs have a tendency to do that to you. So don't sit here and think, oh, God doesn't care about my situation. God knows your situation. He just wants you to trust him and hold on to him. God knew about Peter's situation. Do you know God knew Peter that was going to sink? But he still called him out. He knew he was going to do it, but he still called him out. Why do you think he was so close? Sure, Peter, come on out. If you really did believe in spooks, are you going to ask a ghost, if you're Jesus, tell me to come on the water? It's probably a lying spirit, Peter. I'm sure Peter thought about that later. I mean, it would have been kind of interesting to be with Jesus and Peter later. If Jesus brought that up to him, Peter, what if I'd been a demonic lying spirit? But I wasn't, and you trusted me. See? Jesus became a little blip. Storm became a big blip. Flip those around. The storm. Everybody's in the storm. Everybody in this country's in the same boat. I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are. We all in the same boat. If God is our focus, if God is the big blip on our radar, and this storm that we're in is that tiny little blip, God will cause that storm to work out to our good. We've just got to trust him that he knows what he's doing. I'd rather the one who knows the outcome. See, we think we know the outcome. We only see a part of it. I'd rather know the one who knows the outcome can take me through it and turn these things around for me than to say, God, I don't think you can handle this. I'm going to take it into my own hands. Anybody besides me ever found out that's not a good idea? Usually it doesn't work out for me. All right, let's stand tonight. So there's two things you can take away from tonight. God really wants you to treat other people the way you wanted to be treated and the way you want to be loved. And God is not trivial. But he is something to be pursued. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you tonight for your word. Lord, even in you laying down the law for the Israelites, you showed us your true heart. You were trying to show your true heart to them, but they chose a system over a relationship. And so, Father, I thank you that you have made way possible for us to have that relationship that you so desperately wanted us to have with you. And now, Lord, I pray for each and every person in here. Lord God, whatever the situation, whatever the storm is in their life that is screaming and howling, Lord, I pray right now that you help them turn the focus away from that storm but back onto you, knowing that you will walk with them in this storm. All Peter had to do was stay focused on Jesus, and he could have walked to the other side in peace and left everybody else in the boat. Lord, I thank you right now that you're blessing them, you're moving in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.